All right. How is the family of Hope? Are you happy? Feeling good? Well, you're looking good. Go ahead, tell your neighbor you're looking good. Just encourage them in the Lord. You're looking good. Okay, now tell your second choice you're looking good too. You are also looking good. We are in a series of messages based on a major theme of Jesus' teaching. And the theme is the kingdom of God. The series is called The Royals because Jesus literally came and said, God has a kingdom and I want you to be a part. I don't want you to be a spectator of the kingdom. I don't want you just to be in the outer rims. I want you to join the family of God, which puts you right into the kingdom of God and literally elevates your life. Knowing that God sees more in you than you see in yourself. He sees royalty in you. And that was his message. He spoke that to common people, and it just emboldened them. It just caused them to come to life. And I would pray that that message in this generation would embolden a whole new generation of believers who start living to the potential that God is calling them to. Now, the passage of scripture that we're going to study today is interesting. It's written by one of the disciples of Jesus who is famous for many things, but one of the things he's famous for is rejecting Christ, denying Christ. His name is Peter, right? You know a little bit, some of you, about his story. He has some writings that are in the scripture, and we're going to open up 1 Peter, which is the first little book he wrote, and we're going to open up 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 is where we're studying today, and he teaches some things about the kingdom, and a special verse we're going to dig deep on today. He teaches us in the opening parts of this chapter, if you have it open and you're looking, he teaches us that Christ was rejected. Not everyone accepted the king. That's true in our lives as well. You maybe have some friends that have heard about Jesus and just said, nah, not for me. And he teaches that Christ was rejected, and he uses a metaphor that we find in verse 7, if you have your Bible open. Verse 7, he says, Christ is like a construction, a cornerstone, a rock, because construction was done by stone masonry. They would build buildings out of rocks. They would kind of get them out of the field. They would hand cut them. They would fit them together. It's very interesting how they built. And verse 7 says, Jesus is like a rock that the builders brought up, and it didn't kind of fit into their plan. And they said, we don't know what to do with this one. So they rejected it. They just rolled it down the hill and said, we don't need this rock. And then verse 7 says this truth, that rock that the builders rejected, later on they came to the cornerstone, the most important foundational stone, and they said, what are we going to use for the foundation? And somebody said, you know that rock that we rejected and rolled down the hill? That's the one we need. Go get the rock we rejected. And the stone that the builders rejected, the metaphor for Christ in this teaching, the stone that the builders rejected became the chief cornerstone or the foundation for everything. Now, the important truths, a lot of important truths that come from that, but one of them is this. When Christ was rejected, did it diminish his value? He was the king, he was rejected, but did their rejection diminish Christ's value? Yes or yes? Ah, some people are listening today. Yeah, this is the early morning crowd. You got up, you did your exercises, you had some coffee, and you came to church. No, it didn't. And watch this. As people of the kingdom, everyone in this room will face rejection. But that rejection can't stop you from pressing into the kingdom. Because when people reject you, it does not diminish your value one moment. Because your value doesn't come from people, your value comes from the king of the kingdom. I was reading about a young architect who entered a contest, national contest. And she felt like she had really worked hard and her designs would win an award. And she brought them in and She only got honorable mention, and she was very disappointed. Oh, I really thought I would be like a top award-winning design. I really felt I'd poured my heart and soul into it. I really thought I'd done some of my best work. And she was sitting there at lunch hour, and the room was still open. People were milling around, and an old man walked up to her design, and he was with a group of friends. He didn't know who had submitted the design. He didn't know that she was within earshot. But the old man said, "Now this design here is the best design. If I was given an award, this is the one I would award." And all of a sudden, the young lady didn't care what the judges said, because Frank Lloyd Wright had just said, "This is the best design." Your value doesn't come from the people around you. Your value comes from the King of the universe, who knows rejection because he was rejected. And interesting that this passage was written by a man famous for rejecting Christ, who actually gave up on his faith after he denied Christ, went back to fishing, and Jesus goes looking for him and says, "Hey, don't doubt yourself." I don't know what other people said to Peter. Maybe they said, "Peter, you blew it. You might as well give up on this faith stuff." I don't know what Peter was having, the conversation he was having in himself, but somewhere he came to self-doubt, he gave up, and he went back to fishing. And God knew his destiny wasn't to be fishing. His destiny was in the kingdom of God, to be a leader, a king in the kingdom of God, to be part of the royal family, not a fisherman. So Jesus goes looking for him in John 21 to say, "Hey, don't reject yourself. Don't listen to what other people are saying about you. I have a place for you in my kingdom." And this is exactly what he says to you. I wish you could hear him. Well, he is here. Just listen to him. Jesus is here. You know that? He's in the house. He says, whenever you get together in mine, and here's what he's saying. "I have a place for you in my kingdom. I don't care what other people say about you. I have a place for you in my kingdom." And Peter unpacks this in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, which is the one we're going to dig deep on. And here's the verse. If you have it there, you'll see it. You see it begins with a transition word, right? A transition word is, you got it there? But, that means that it comes from this rejection of Christ. People reject him, but you need to know these things about yourself. And here's somebody that faced rejection. Here's someone that had felt self-doubt, but he comes with these four powerful statements. Watch what he says. "But you are a chosen generation." Give me a good chosen generation. Come on, talk to me. Come on, give me a good chosen generation. Give it to me. "You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood." Give me a royal priesthood. That's number two. "You are a holy nation." Come on, talk. That's good. You're with the program now. That's very good. "And you are special people." Nudge your neighbor. Say, he's talking about you right there. He's talking about you. Special people. So here's what he's teaching us. He's teaching us that the rejected one is the foundation of our life. And this is the most important, where we start from. That the foundation or the cornerstone is Christ. He's what we build our life upon. He knows rejection. You may know rejection. And it doesn't matter what other people say about you. It's what Christ says about you. And when you feel rejection, you need to come back to the one who was rejected and will never reject you. It's good. It is good. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Okay, when you come, now from that, here are the truths that flow. That you are, and this is a beautiful, you are chosen or accepted by God. You are part of that chosen generation, or you are accepted by God. So you may, well, get this, you may be rejected by others, but you are chosen by God. You may be rejected by people around you, maybe even family members, maybe friends. They don't get what this Christ is doing in your heart. They have a hard time with it. They may reject you, but Christ has chosen you. In fact, Jesus says the whole basis of your relationship with God is not laid on you, it's laid on him. John 15, it's in your study guide. Jesus said, "It's not that you chose me, I chose you. I chose you. Your relationship with God isn't dependent on how you performed last week, what you did or didn't do last week. Your relationship with God is based on the fact that he says, I want you in my family. I choose you. And have you ever been in one of those, where you choose teams? Remember, you ever do that when you were a kid? You choose teams. They like line everybody up. And they usually pick the best two athletes to be like the captains, coaches. And then they go through the line going, you ever done that? I choose you. And they pick like the next best to be like the one on the team. And you're lined up there and you're just praying, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, may I not be last. Oh God, please, please, may I, you're looking down the line to see if there's somebody worse than you. Is there anyone worse than me? And here's where it really gets bad. When you get to the end and they go like this, oh, you can have them. doesn't matter whose team they're on, you can have them. Now, get this. And if you're a note taker, I'm going to give you a reference. Ephesians 1 and 4. Ephesians 1 and 4. This is bonus material. Ephesians 1 and 4 tells us when Christ chose you, when you became a chosen one. And it says this, before the foundations of the world. When did he choose you? I just told you. When did he choose you? This is before you're born. This is actually before time is created. Right? So there's no sequence of time before the foundations of the world. There's no sequence of time. There's something called eternity. And eternity, there's not numbering sequences, just eternal now, which is this. Watch this. That means everyone in this room, God chose you first. Now, I know you'll think a little bit about that. But it's true. There's not a sequence. He didn't choose you and then you and then you and then you and then you. He just, before the foundation of the world, says, I choose you. First choice. And you look around, you're looking down the road going, I think he would have chosen somebody in this room more than me, ahead of me. No, he didn't do that. He chose you and he chose you first. Your relationship with God, your acceptance with God is based on what he has done. He calls you. He accepts you. The Message Bible translates this verse or this segment this way, and I love it. You are the ones chosen by God. You've gone from nothing to something. You've gone from rejected to accepted. So here it is. It doesn't matter what people have done to reject you. You are accepted by God. You are chosen. Somebody say, that's good. That is good. Now, you're chosen to be part of what? And here's what we're teaching this month. You're chosen to be part of something Peter calls here the, what? The royal. Now, can you believe you could put this on your business card? So I've watched some of you as we've been teaching this. And even the fact of trying to teach you that you are royalty, you're still like trying to get over that. You're like, I don't think he's really talking about me. I think maybe that's the person behind me or there's people sitting up at the front. Man, they're good people. How about them? But here's the truth. He adopts you into his family. You're a child of God, which brings you into royalty, that you are a son of the Most High God. Why? Because he chose you. He accepted you, and he values you. This is what he values you that much. How much did he value? He valued you so much, he paid for you with the life of his son. So that you are incredibly valued, and to live and to begin to move to what Peter is calling us towards. You've got to know deep in your soul that God values you. And I would pray, Holy Spirit, even now, I would pray, Holy Spirit, speak to these people. Let them see their lives, not through the prism of others and how others have talked about them, but may they see their eyes through the prism, the light, the eyes of God, that they are valued. Oh, I pray that for you. You're royal, and this, and I know people in this room because of your maybe religious background, you may have a hard time with this title here. Priest? 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 No, that's for people that wear different clothing, and that's for people that are holy people. And it's certainly not for women. Just saying. You have to push. Okay, at this moment, push aside religious tradition, because the traditions of men make void the word of God. I want you to drill down on the revelation of God, that men priests, women priests, and he's talking to all y'all. Slipped into my southern mode right there. Now, why is this important? Because there's a whole group of people in our culture that feel they're not good enough to approach God themselves, and so they have to approach God through someone else. And that's a teaching. Many people have been touched by it. They've got to come to a priest to bring them to God. That priest is a mediator or a bridge. The word actually in the Greek language means a bridge. A bridge. That person is a bridge. And here's what the truth is. You don't need a bridge. You actually can approach God yourself, you and God, straight into his presence. Here I am, throne of grace, that's me. Because you are a priest. I ordain you. I don't ordain you. The word, the revelation. I ordain priest. That you have direct access to God. Why? Because he accepts you, because he values you, and he wants a relationship with you, a direct relationship with you. What else do priests do? They minister and help others. That's part of the calling of the kingdom of God. Priests help others, and that's your calling. Your calling is to be the manifestation of the kingdom of God in every room you're in. To God's kingdom, which is perfect and pure and whole and holy and filled with love and filled with joy and filled with peace, that as a priest, you are to bridge now. You are the bridge. You have a direct access to God, but now to people that are far away from God, you are the priest to bring God to them and to tell them, you don't need me, because you too can be a priest. Well, I wish you would have got that. So people that are far away from God, you're a priest. So you're a bridge. You bring God to them. And then you step out of the way and say, you too can have my spot. You too can be in the family of God. You too can have the royalty of God stamped on you. You are valuable to God, and you are the manifestation of his kingdom. Are we done? Okay, let's close in prayer. We're not done, right? We're not done with the verse. There's still more, right? Got your Bible open? Got your study in there? Taking some notes? Because there's more. What's the next thing he calls us? Holy. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, there are some reference material. Yeah, there's reference material. That's there. You can read it. It's bonus material. I've got so much to say here. You just have to read along. Okay, holy nation. Okay, we will do the bonus material here because it's in your study guide. And it really goes back to the second book in the Bible. Okay, it's from Exodus. And actually the thought that Peter is teaching us in his letter comes way back from the book of Exodus. It comes from this scripture. So let's look at it. Exodus chapter 19, you'll see the similarity in the language. Exodus 19, and you shall be to me, this is written to the children of Israel, right? You shall be to me, watch the similarity, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Does that look familiar? You're a holy nation. This is where it comes from. Now, God made that promise to the children of Israel. Now, Peter takes that promise. It's still true for the children of Israel. Still true. God had made it a promise. God never breaks his promises. He still has promises he made to the children of Israel, but now he expands it to the children of God. If you're a child of God, You're called to be a holy nation. What does that mean? Holy means set apart, different. So you take something or someone and you set it apart. Remember when I ordained you a few moments ago? I'm just emphasizing that you were set apart. To not live like the world lives, but to live different. It's literally a higher ethical, moral life. A holy life is pure. It's not filled with deceit and lies and envy and gossip and immorality. It's high. It's holy. See, living separate is not just going around your office going, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God is good. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That actually can turn people off. I'm spiritual. I went to church. Praise the Lord. Don't be that person. Be the person in your office that when they gossip, you have no part of it. That's holy. Be the person that when someone is in need in your school, you're the person that does something about it. That's holy. You live separate from, you should be different. People should get a sense, there's something different about you. Why? Because you've been chosen by God, you have value, and He has set you apart for a divine purpose. You're a nation. The Greek in that case is ethnos, a nation. It comes, we get the word ethnicity from that. My ethnic background. What is your ethnic background? Do you know what you're like? Did you do 23andMe? Do you know you like where your family tree? What's your ethnic background? You have one? Come on, talk to me. This is not like a spectator sport. It's like a talk to me session. What is it? Some French, parlez-vous français? Italian, German, Scott Irish mixture? We'll pray for you, man. We'll pray for you. You're a mess. So we all have these like ethnic. There are tribes. Those are my people. Now, watch this. Watch what we also do. We have ethnic sins we blame. I'm Scott-Irish. I got a bad temper. Or, you know, we drink too much. That's our ethnos. Or we're Italian, you know. That's just the way we are. Okay. What he's saying is, okay, we all have that. And actually, that's good. The whole world is designed around that diversity brings strength, and we should learn that. In the kingdom of God, we want diversity in this church. Diversity brings strength. Unity, man, if everyone is the same, life is boring and life doesn't work. Diversity is in the scripture from the book of Genesis when God created all this diversity, and it works together in harmony. But what he is saying is no matter what your ethnos is, no matter what your ethical background is, your highest ethnos, your highest ethical kingdom that you belong is this nation that is holy. And so we don't live by Scott-Irish. We don't live by German. We don't live by Italian. We don't live by African-American. In the kingdom of God, we are all primarily one ethnos. We live to the kingdom standards. We live like the king lives. And here's how you can tell if you've got the right people around you. Because if you've got the right people around you, it's a nation, okay? Notice it's not you are a holy individual, right? Nation is like a lot of people. And you need to have the right people around you because they actually will pull you towards. Yeah, they will. If the right people are around you, they'll be pushing you. High moral ethical, not from the outside, but they'll be supporting that. They'll be pulling you forward. If you're with the wrong people, they'll be pulling you into unholiness. Anybody have friends like that? Come on, isn't this an honest crowd? I thought with people, your people influence you both ways. One of the reasons we have this weekend, which is a kickoff weekend for small groups and connect groups, is because if you're not connected, you will never become as holy as God wants you to be. I just blessed myself right there. That's true. If you're just coming every weekend and sitting, I am a rock. I am an island. You'll never get to this place. And you'll never get to the highest calling. I'm stacking these up on purpose because the highest one, and he expands on it, is you are special people. Or, L-E? That people is really in bad shape. Or some older versions, peculiar people. I like that one. You are peculiar. What the Greek means this, that you're owned. You're an owned person. You are chosen, not for your own purposes. You're valued, not for your own, not to be selfish, not go around saying, oh, what a good girl am I. Well, I'm so valuable. No, you're valued so you can give value to others. Right? Royal priest, ministering, bridging to others. You're a holy nation so that you can fulfill the purpose. And if you look at the verse, the purpose is revealed here. Okay? The purpose is in verse 9, these special people, these owned people, these people that are not their own, they're actually owned by the king. When he is the king, he becomes the Lord of your life, the director of your soul. When God is at the center of your soul, you are here to do what? Can you see it? You're here to have a purpose. I need a bigger board. To proclaim. Can you see that? And we need a whole lot more of this on the earth right now. It's not about coming to church, sitting, singing a few songs, listening to some teaching. It's about, in the world you live in, proclaiming. And what do you proclaim? Here it is. You will proclaim the praises of God. You'll talk about God, the one who called you out of darkness and into the light. That's your message. Your message is God changes lives. I used to be in darkness, but now I'm in light. I used to be dominated by darkness, but now I walk in the light. And you can too. And every single one of you is a proclaimer. Or can I say it like this? Every single one of you is a prophet of God. I've ordained you into the priesthood and being a prophet. Why? Because you've been accepted by God. He chose you. It's not based on you. He values you and gives you a ministry to change others. He has connected you with other people. You are set apart for God. You're not living your own life because you are peculiar. You are special. You are owned people so that you will proclaim. Now, bonus material as well. Not in your notes, not anywhere. But write down the scripture reference, Acts chapter 2 and verse 18. Acts chapter 2 and verse 18, where Peter, who is writing these things to us in 1 Peter, is preaching. Peter's voice again, preaching in Acts chapter 2. He's standing up and he's preaching about how the Holy Spirit desires to come upon people. And here's what this verse says. You can look it up if you're quick enough, or you can just trust me. Here's what it says. It says that God will pour his Holy Spirit out on his sons and his daughters. Okay, let's just see how many of us qualify. How many of you are sons? How many of you are daughters? Let me hear it from the sons. I bet you the daughters are going to just show you guys up. How many of you are daughters? So sad, guys, so sad. So everyone is a son or daughter now who are servants. I will pour my spirit out on my servants who are sons and daughters so there has to be a willingness in your heart to serve. So you will not fulfill your purpose until you know you're not here for yourself. You're not in the kingdom of God just to give you value as a royal. You're in the kingdom to make a difference on the planet because can I just say it like this? You need to find your voice. You need to find it and let it out. And when it comes out, darkness is defeated and light goes forward. That's what you're proclaiming. and find your voice and speak. And here's what Acts chapter 2, verse 18 says, that he's pouring his Holy Spirit on the sons. Still so weak. Guys, I'm going to give you one more chance, okay? And the daughters. So we all, we pretty much, that are willing to serve. How many people are willing to serve? That's important. Because he's calling you to serve. He's calling you to have a prophetic voice on the earth that overcomes darkness and brings light. In every room you go into, you are to show up and be a fragrance, not an odor. Come on. You're not to stink the place up. You're to sweeten the place up. Step into the room as a chosen, valued, set apart voice for God. Because Acts 2:18 says that he's pouring his Holy Spirit on his sons and daughters. That's all of us. We all qualify who choose to serve. Not everyone chooses to serve. You got to choose to serve. And they will, here's what it says, and they will prophesy. They will prophesy. There'll be things coming out of their mouth about the kingdom of God that bring light into dark places. And that's what we need more of on this planet. We need more voices for God. We need more people who will shine light. Out of your mouth comes, you know what? God changes lives. People's lives are a mess. You know God can change that. He can overcome darkness and bring light. He can take hopelessness and bring hope. And you are part of the solution because doesn't matter what other people say about you. The Christ that was rejected, doesn't matter. Never lost his value. And you don't lose your value. He's the one we build upon. He's the one that chooses us, values us, sets us apart so our voice would be heard on the planet in our generation. Let the church say amen. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to pray. Close your eyes, and really the most important voice in this room is what the Holy Spirit would be saying to you about your life. And my great prayer is that you would hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to you about your life. Some of you don't have the right identity. Your identity is flowing from people and what people have said to you in your past. And I'm just praying during this series of teachings that you will hear the voice of the King who says, I choose you. Your value comes from the choice I make in your life. And when you receive that choice, you're in the family and you're valuable. I pray all of us would move in the anointing and calling as priests. We have direct access to God. You can talk to God directly. You don't have to go through anyone. You can have direct access. And you are called to be a bridge to people who are far away from God. Lord, there are people here that need to live more holy. And your Holy Spirit is always calling us to be set apart, to not live like the world, but to live in a kingdom filled with love and joy and peace and righteousness and joy. And here's I just pray that God will give you a voice in this generation. That your voice will be heard. Because we need God's divine amplification system to be plugged into the Holy Spirit and begin to broadcast to this generation. And the Holy Spirit will come upon the sons and daughters who are willing to serve, and they will prophesy, and they will speak this truth. Light is on the move, and it's overcoming darkness. God changes lives. God changes circumstances. God sets the captive free. So in this moment, we just open our hearts to Jesus, some for the first time, some for the first time in a long time. Here's a prayer of opening our hearts. Maybe you've been living with Jesus and living for Jesus, or maybe you haven't, but this is a moment to change that. And it changes when we give our lives to God. And I'm going to ask everyone to give your life to God. Here's a prayer. Pray it out loud because God loves to hear your voice. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. One more time, pray that. Jesus, I give you my life. I repent of my sins. Thank you for taking them away. Jesus, you are my Savior. And Jesus, you are my Lord. Thank you, God, for loving me. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. Okay, look this way. Now, I'm going to hang around, you know, a little bit if you need to pray. Happy to do that. If you are making a commitment to Christ, just stop by in the VIP room. There's some material we'd like to give to you as a follower of Jesus to help you grow. If you need a Bible, we'll give that to you. Just stop in there. Say, hey, prayed with Scott. If you're a guest here and you love Jesus still, stop by the VIP room because we just want to meet you. We'd love you to come back as we continue. I tell you, when I've been studying and praying in this series, my heart is just so full of revelation. It's like, God is downloading so much stuff. I actually took the next series and pushed it off so I can keep going with this series. This week I said to the staff, there's just so much stuff, man. I got to keep going with this stuff because it's revelation, and I wanted to be in the church and I wanted to be in our hearts. So I just pray that we will all grow in wisdom and revelation. And everybody says, and now I'm going to bless you. And I want you to go out and connect with Connect Group so that you are part of the nation. Don't go out and go, I am a rock, I'm an island. Let that go. That's not you. You're part of a nation. So we want you to be connected to people who are helping you to move forward in your life. We bless that as well. So I want to bless you guys. So good to be with you. Grace and peace to all of you. I love you. I pray that God will bless you and keep you. I pray that the God of hope will fill you with all joy and all peace as you trust in Him, and the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you raise your voice in this generation. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody says, amen. Grace and peace, everybody. God bless you.